me alert. Dharma inhaled deeply of the fresh air. It was going to be a good day, precisely because that was what she desired. She gathered in her secret memories then and let them soothe her. Guldur be blessed. We found the place to rebuild our strength. Consolidation of the old empire was proceeding as planned. There would not be many witches' nests left out there, and once that damnable chapter house was found, the limbs could be destroyed at leisure. Ix, now there was a problem. Perhaps I should not have killed those two Ixian scientists yesterday. But the fools had dared demand more information from her. Demanded! And after saying they had no solution to rearming the weapon. Of course they did not know it was a weapon. Did they? She could not be sure. So it had been a good thing to kill those two after all. Teach them a lesson. Bring us answers, not questions. She liked the order she and her sisters were creating in the old empire. There had been too much wandering about and too many different cultures, too many unstable religions. Worship of Guldur will serve them as it serves us. She felt no mystical affinity to her religion. It was a useful tool of power. The roots were well known. Leto II, the one those witches called the Tyrant, and his father, Muad'Dib. Consummate power brokers, both of them. Lots of schismatic cells around, but those could be weeded out. Keep the essence. It was a well-lubricated machine. The tyranny of the minority cloaked in the mask of the majority. That was what the witch Lucilla had recognized. No way to let her live after discovering she knew how to manipulate the masses. The witch nests would have to be found and burned. Lucilla's perceptiveness clearly was not an isolated example. Her actions betrayed the workings of a school. They taught this thing, fools. You had to manage reality, or things really got out of control. Lonya returned. Dharma could always tell the sound of her footsteps. Furtive. The old witch will be brought from Boozle, Lonya said. And her attendants. Don't forget about the futars. I have given the orders, Dharma. Oily voice. You'd like to feed me to the herd, wouldn't you, Lonya? And tighten up security on the cages, Lonya. 3 more of them escaped last night. They were wandering around in the garden when I awoke. I was told, Dharma, more cage guards have been assigned. And don't tell me they're harmless without a handler. I do not believe that, Dharma. And that's truth from her for once. Futars terrify her. Good. I believe we have our power base, Lonya. Dharma turned, noting that Lonya had encroached at least 2 millimeters into the danger zone. Lonya saw it too and retreated. As close as you want in front, where I can see you, Lonya, but not behind my back. Lonya saw the orange blaze in Dharma's eyes and almost knelt. Definite bending of the knees. It is my eagerness to serve you, Dharma. Your eagerness to replace me, Lonya. What of that woman from Garmu? Odd name. What was it? Rebecca, Dharma. She and some of her companions have temporarily eluded us. We will find them. They cannot get off the planet. You think I should have kept her here, don't you? It was wise to think of her as bait, Dharma. She's still bait. That witch we found on Garmu did not go to those people by accident. Yes, Dharma. But the subservient sound in Lonya's voice was enjoyable. Well, get on with it. Lonya scurried away. There were always those little cells of potential violence meeting secretly somewhere. Building up their mutual charges of hate, swarming out to disrupt the orderly lives around them. Someone always had to clean up after those disruptions. Dharma sighed. Terror tactics were so temporary. Success. That was the danger. It had cost them an empire. If you waved your success around like a banner, someone always wanted to cut you down. Envy. We will hold our success more cautiously this time. She fell into a semi-reverie, still alert to the sounds behind her, but relishing the evidence of new victories that had been displayed to her this morning. She liked to roll the names of captive planets silently on her tongue. Warlock, Cronin, Renal, Ekars, Bella Taguz, Gamu, Garmont, Nayushi.
Humans are born with a susceptibility to that most persistent and debilitating disease of intellect, self-deception. The best of all possible worlds and the worst get their dramatic coloration from it. As nearly as we can determine, there is no natural immunity. Constant alertness is required. The Coda.
With O'Drade away from Central, and probably only for a short time, Belonda knew swift action was required. That damned Mentat Gola is too dangerous to live. Mother Superior's party was barely out of sight into the lowering afternoon before Belonda was on her way to the no-ship. Not for Belonda a thoughtful approach through ring orchards. She ordered space on a tube, windowless, automatic and fast. O'Drade, too, had observers who might send unwanted messages. En route, Belonda reviewed her assessment of Idaho's many lives, a record she had kept in archives ready for quick retrieval. In the original and early Golas, his character had been dominated by impulsiveness, quick to hate, quick to give loyalty. Later Idaho Golas tempered this with cynicism, but the underlying impulsiveness remained. The tyrant had called it to action many times. Belonda recognized a pattern. He can be goaded by pride. His long service to the tyrant fascinated her. Not only had he been a Mentat several times, but there was evidence he had been a truth-sayer in more than one incarnation. Idaho's appearance reflected what she saw in her records. Interesting character lines. A look around the eyes and a set to his mouth that went with complex inner development. Why would O'Drade not accept the danger of this man? Belonda had felt frequent misgivings when O'Drade spoke of Idaho with such flaunting of her emotions. He thinks clearly and directly. There's a fastidious cleanliness about his mind. It's restorative. I like him, and I know that's a trivial thing to influence my decision. She admits his influence. Belonda found Idaho alone and seated at his console. His attention was fixed on a linear display she recognized, the no-ship's operational schematics. He washed the projection when he saw her. Hello, Belle. Been expecting you. He touched his console field and a door opened behind him. Young Teg entered and took up a position near Idaho, staring silently at Belonda. Idaho did not invite her to sit or find a chair for her, forcing her to bring one from his sleeping chamber and place it facing him. When she was seated, he turned a look of wary amusement to her. Belonda remained taken aback by his greeting. Why did he expect me? He answered her unspoken question. Dar projected earlier, told me she was off to see Shiana. I knew you'd waste no time getting to me when she was gone. Simple Mentat projection, or... She warned you. Wrong. What secrets do you and Shiana share? Demanding. She uses me the way you want her to use me. The Missionaria. Belle, two Mentats together. Must we play these stupid games? Belonda took a deep breath and sought Mentat mode. Not easy under these circumstances. That child staring at her, the amusement on Idaho's face. Was O'Drade displaying an unsuspected slyness, working against a sister with this Gola? Idaho relaxed when he saw Bene Gesserit intensity become the doubled focus of the Mentat. I've known for a long time that you want me dead, Bell. Yes, I have been readable in my fears. It had been very close there, he thought. Belonda had come to him with death in mind, a little drama to create the necessity, all prepared. He entertained few illusions about his ability to match her in violence, but Belonda Mentat would observe before acting. It's disrespectful the way you use our first names, she said, goading. Different recognition, Bell. You're no longer Reverend Mother, and I'm not the Gola. Two human beings with common problems. Don't tell me you're unaware of this. She glanced around his workroom. If you expected me, why didn't you have Mabella here? Force her to kill you while protecting me. Belonda assessed this. The damned honored Motra probably could kill me. But then, you sent her away to protect her. I've a better protector. He gestured at the child. Teg, a protector. There were those stories from Garmu about him. Does Idaho know something? She wanted to ask, but did she dare risk diversion? Watchdogs must receive a clear scenario of danger. Him? Would he serve the Bene Gesserit if he saw you kill me? When she did not answer, he said, Put yourself in my place, Bell. I'm a Mentat caught not only in your trap, but in that of the honored Matras. Is that all you are? A Mentat? No. I'm a Tlilaxu experiment, but I don't see the future. I'm not a Kwisatz Haderach. I'm a Mentat with memories of many lives. You with your other memories. Think about the leverage that gives me. While he was speaking, Teg came to lean against the console at Idaho's elbow. The boy's expression was one of curiosity, but she saw no fear of her. Idaho gestured at the projection focus over his head, silver motes dancing there, ready to create their images. A Mentat sees his relays producing discrepancies, winter scenes in summer, sunshine when his visitors have come through rain. Didn't you expect me to discount your little playlets? She heard Mentat's summation. To that extent, they shared common teaching. She said, You naturally told yourself not to minimize the Tao. I asked different questions. Things that happen together can have underground links. What is cause and effect when confronted with simultaneity? You had good teachers. And not just in one life. Teg leaned toward her.
Did you really come here to kill him?
No sense lying. I still think he is too dangerous. Let watchdogs argue that.
But he's going to give me back my memories.
Dancers on a common floor, Bell, Idaho said. Thou, we may not appear to dance together, may not use the same steps or rhythms, but we are seen together. She began to suspect where he might be leading and wondered if there might be another way to destroy him.
I don't know what you're talking about, Teg said.
Interesting coincidences, Idaho said. Teg turned to Belonda.
Maybe you would explain, please.
He's trying to tell me we need each other.
Then why doesn't he say so?
It's more subtle than that, boy. And she thought, the record must show me warning Idaho. The nose of the donkey doesn't cause the tail, Duncan, no matter how often you see the beast pass that thin vertical space limiting your view of it. Idaho met Belonda's fixed gaze. Dar came here once with a sprig of apple blossoms, but my projection showed harvest time.
It's riddles, isn't it? Teg said, clapping his hands.
Belonda recalled the record of that visit, precise movements by Mother Superior. You didn't suspect a hothouse, or that she just wanted to please me?
Am I supposed to guess? Teg asked.
After a long silence, Mentat gaze locked to Mentat gaze, Idaho said, There's anarchy behind my confinement, Bell. Disagreement in your highest councils. There can be deliberation and judgment even in anarchy, she said. You're a hypocrite, Bell.
She drew back as though he had struck her, a purely involuntary movement that shocked her by the forced reaction.
Voice?
No, something reaching deeper. She was suddenly terrified of this man.
I find it marvellous that a mentat and a reverend mother could be such a hypocrite, he said.
Teg tugged at Idaho's arm.
Are you fighting?
Idaho brushed the hand away.
Yes, we're fighting.
Belonda could not tear her gaze from Idaho's. She wanted to turn and flee. What was he doing? This had gone completely awry.
Hypocrites and criminals among you? He asked.
Once more, Belonda remembered the comm eyes. He was playing not only her, but the watchers as well, and doing it with exquisite care. She was suddenly filled with admiration for his performance, but this did not allay her fear.
I ask why your sisters tolerate you.
His lips moved with such delicate precision.
Are you a necessary evil, a source of valuable data, and occasionally good advice?
She found her voice.
How dare you!
Guttural and containing all of her vaunted viciousness.
It could be that you strengthen your sisters.
Voice flat, not changing tone in the slightest.
Weak links create places others must reinforce, and that would strengthen those others.
Belonda realized she was barely keeping her hold on mentat mode. Could any of this be true? Was it possible Mother Superior saw her that way?
You came with criminal disobedience in mind, he said.
All in the name of necessity. A little drama for the comm eyes, proving you had no other choice. She found his words restoring mentat abilities. Did he do that knowingly? She was fascinated by the need to study his manner as well as his words. Did he really read her that well? The record of this encounter might be far more valuable than her little playlet, and the outcome no different.
You think Mother Superior's wishes are law? She asked. Do you really think me unobservant?
Waving a hand at Teg, who started to interrupt.
Bell, be only a mentat. I hear you, and so do many others.
I'm deep into your problem.
We've given you no problem.
But you have. You have, Bell. You're miser's the way you parcel out the pieces, but I see it. Belonda abruptly remembered O'Drade saying, I don't need a mentat. I need an inventor.
You need me, Idaho said. Your problem is still in its shell, but the meat's there and must be extracted. Why would we possibly need you?
You need my imagination, my inventiveness, things that kept me alive in the face of Leto's wrath.
You've said he killed you so many times you lost count. Eat your own words, mentat.
He gave her an exquisitely controlled smile, so precise that neither she nor the comm eyes could mistake its intent.
But how can you trust me, Bell? He condemns himself.
Without something new, you're doomed, he said.
Only a matter of time, and you all know it. Perhaps not this generation, perhaps not even the next one, but inevitably.
Teg pulled sharply at Idaho's sleeve.
The Bashar could help, couldn't he?
So the boy really listened. Idaho patted Teg's arm. The Bashar's not enough. Then to Belonda.
Underdogs together. Must we growl over the same bone? You've said that before, and doubtless we'll say it again.
Still mentat, he asked.
Then discard drama. Get the romantic haze off our problem. Dar's the romantic, not me.
What's romantic, he asked, about little pockets of scattered Bene Gesserit waiting to be slaughtered?
You think none will escape? You're seeding the universe with enemies, he said. You're feeding on Admatras. She was fully and only Mentat then, required to match this Gola ability for ability. Drama, romance. The body got in the way of Mentat performance. Mentats must use the body, not let it interfere. No reverent mother you've scattered has ever returned or sent a message, he said. You try to reassure yourselves by saying only the scattered ones know where they go. How can you ignore the message they send in this other fact? Why has no one tried to communicate with Chapter House? He's chiding all of us, damn him. And he's right. Have I stated our problem in its most elemental form? Mentat questioning. Simplest question, simplest projection, she agreed. Amplified sexual ecstasy, Bene Gesserit imprint. Are honoured Matras trapping your people out there? Mabella? A one-word challenge. Assess this woman you say you love. Does she know things we should know? They're conditioned against raising their own enjoyment to addictive levels, but they are vulnerable. She denies there are Bene Gesserit sources in honoured Matra history, as she was conditioned to do. A lust for power instead. At last you've asked a proper question. And when she did not reply, he said, Mater Felicissima, addressing her by the ancient term for Bene Gesserit council members. She knew why he did it and felt the word produce the wanted effect. She was firmly balanced now. Mentat, Reverend Mother, encompassed by the mohalata of her own spice agony. That union of benign other memory protecting her from domination by malignant ancestors. How did he know to do that? Every observer behind the commies would be asking that question. Of course, the tyrant trained him thus time and time again. What do we have here? What is this talent Mother Superior dares employ? Dangerous, yes, but far more valuable than I expected. By the gods of our own creation, is he the tool to free us? How calm he was. He knew he had caught her. In one of my lives, Belle, I visited your Bene Gesserit house on Wallach 9, and there talked to one of your ancestors, Tertius Helen Antioch. Let her guide you, Belle. She knows. Londa felt familiar prodding in her mind. How could he know Antioch was my ancestor? I went to Wallach 9 at the tyrant's command, he said. Oh yes, I often thought of him as tyrant. My orders were to suppress the Mentat school you thought you had hidden there. Antioch's simulflow intruded. I show you now the event of which he speaks. Consider, he said. I, a Mentat, forced to suppress a school that trained people the way I was trained. I knew why he ordered it, of course, and so do you. Simulflow poured it through her awareness. Order of Mentats, founded by Gilbertus Albans. Temporary sanctuary with Bene Tlilax, who hoped to incorporate them into Tlilaxu hegemony, spread into uncounted seed schools, suppressed by later the second because they formed a nucleus of independent opposition, spread into the scattering after the famine. He kept a few of the finest teachers on Dune, but the question Antioch forces you to confront now does not go there. Where have your sisters gone, Belle? We have no way of knowing yet, do we? She looked at his console with new awareness. It was wrong to block such a mind. If they were to use him, they must use him fully. By the way, Belle, as she stood to leave, honoured Matras could be a relatively small group. Small? Didn't he know how the Sisterhood was being overwhelmed by terrifying numbers on planet after planet? All numbers are relative. Is there something in the universe truly immovable? Our old empire could be a last retreat for them, Belle, A place to hide and try to regroup.
You suggested that before. To Dar.
Not Mother Superior, not Odraid. Dar. He smiled. And perhaps we could help with Skytail.
We?
Mabella to gather information, I to assess it. He did not like the smile this produced.
Precisely what are you suggesting?
Let our imaginations roam and fashion our experiments accordingly. Of what use would even a no planet be if someone could penetrate the shielding? She glanced at the boy. Idaho knew their suspicion that the Bashar had seen the no ships. Naturally, a mentat of his abilities, bits and pieces assembled into a masterful projection.
It would require the entire output of a G3 sun to shield any halfway livable planet.
Dry and very cool, the way she looked down at him. Nothing is out of the question in the scattering,
but not within our present capabilities. Do you have something less ambitious?
Review the genetic markers in the cells of your people. Look for common patterns in Atreides' inheritance. There may be talents you have not even guessed.
Your inventive imagination bounces around.
G3 suns to genetics. There may be common factors.
Why these mad suggestions? No planets and people for whom prescient shields are transparent. What is he doing?
She did not flatter herself that he spoke only for her benefit. There were always the commies. He remained silent, one arm thrown negligently across the boy's shoulders, both of them watching her. A challenge.
Be a mentat if you can. No planets.
As the mass of an object increased, energy to nullify gravitation passed thresholds matched to prime numbers. No shields met even greater energy barriers. Another magnitude of exponential increase. Was Idaho suggesting that someone in the scattering might have found a way around the problem? She asked him.
Ixians have not penetrated Holtzman's unification concept, he said. They merely use it, a theory that works even when you don't understand it.
Why does he direct my attention to the technology of Ix? Ixians had their fingers in too many pies for the Bene Gesserit to trust them.
Aren't you curious why the tyrant never suppressed Ix? He asked.
And when she continued to stare at him, he only bridled them. He was fascinated by the idea of human and machine inextricably bound to each other, each testing the limits of the other.
Cyborgs, among other things.
Didn't Idaho know the residue of revulsion left by the Butlerian Jihad, even among the Bene Gesserit? Alarming, the convergence of what each human and machine could do. Considering machine limitations, that was a succinct description of Ixian short-sightedness. Was Idaho saying the tyrant subscribed to the idea of machine intelligence? Foolishness. She turned away from him.
You're leaving too quickly, Belle. You should be more interested in Shiana's immunity to sexual bonding. The young men I send for polishing are not imprinted, and neither is she. Yet no honored Matra is more of an adept.
Belonda saw now the value Odraid placed in this Gola. Priceless, and I might have killed him. This nearness of that error filled her with dismay.
When she reached the doorway, he stopped her once more. The Futars I saw on Garmu. Why were we told they hunt and killed honored Matras? Mabella knows nothing of this.
Belonda left without looking back. Everything she had learned about Idaho today increased his danger, but they had to live with it. For now.
Idaho took a deep breath and looked at the puzzled Teg.
Thank you for being here, and I do appreciate the fact that you remain silent in the face of great provocation.
She wouldn't really have killed you, would she?
If you'd not gained me those first few seconds, she might have.
Why?
She has the mistaken idea that I might be a Kwisatz Haderach.
Like Muad'Dib.
And his son.
Well, she won't hurt you now.
Idaho looked at the door where Belonda had gone. Reprieve. That was all he had achieved. Perhaps he no longer was just a cog in the machinations of others. They had achieved a new relationship, one that could keep him alive if carefully exploited. Emotional attachments had never figured in it, not even with Mabella, nor with Odraid. Deep down, Mabella resented sexual bondage as much as he did. Odraid might hint at ancient ties of Atreides' loyalty, but emotions in a reverend mother could not be trusted.
Atreides.
He looked at Teg, seeing family appearance already beginning to shape the immature face. And what have I really achieved with Bell? They no longer were likely to provide him with false data. He could place a certain reliance in what a reverend mother told him, colouring this by awareness that any human might make mistakes.
I'm not the only one in a special school. The sisters are in my school now.
May I go find Mabella? Teg asked. She promised to teach me how to fight with my feet. I don't think the Bashar ever learned that.
Who never learned it?
Head down, abashed.
I never learned it.
Mabella's on the practice floor. Run along, but let me tell her about Belonda.
Schooling in a Bene Gesserit environment never stopped, Idaho thought, as he watched the boy leave. But Mabella was right when she said they were learning things available only from the sisters. This thought stirred misgivings. He saw an image in memory. Skytail standing behind the field barrier in a corridor. What was their fellow prisoner learning? Idaho shuddered, thinking of the Tlilaxu who always called up memories of face dancers. And that recalled face dancer ability to reprint the memories of anyone they killed. This in its turn filled him with fears of his visions. Face dancers. And I'm a Tlilaxu experiment. This was not something he dared explore with a reverent mother, or even within the sight or hearing of one. He went out in the corridors then, and into Mabella's quarters, where he settled himself in a chair and examined the residue of a lesson she had studied. Voice. There was the clair tone she used to echo her vocal experiments. The breathing harness to force Pranabindu responses lay across a chair, carelessly discarded in a tangle. She had bad habits from Arnold Matra days. Mabella found him there when she returned. She wore skin-tight white leotards blotched with perspiration and was in a hurry to remove this clothing and make herself comfortable. He stopped her on the way to the shower, using one of the tricks he had learned. I've discovered some things about the sisterhood that we didn't know before.
Tell me.
It was his Mabella demanding this, perspiration glistening on her oval face, green eyes admiring. My Duncan saw through them again. A game where one of the pieces cannot be moved, he reminded her. Let the Komai watchdogs play with that one. They not only expect me to help them create a new religion around Shiana, our willing participation in their dream, I'm supposed to be their gadfly, their conscience, making them question their own excuses for extraordinary behaviour.
Has Odraid been here?
Belonda.
Duncan, that one is dangerous. You should never see her alone.
The boy was with me.
He never said.
He obeys orders.
All right. What happened?
He gave her a brief account, even to describing Belonda's facial expressions and other reactions, and wouldn't the Komai watchers have great sport with that? Mabella was enraged.
If she harms you, I will never again cooperate with any of them.
Right on cue, my darling.
Consequences.
You Bene Gesserit witches should re-examine your behaviour with great care. I'm still stinking from the practice floor, she said. That boy, he's a quick one. I've never seen a child that bright. He stood. Here, I'll scrub you. In the shower, he helped her out of the sweaty leotards, his hands cool on her skin. He could see how much she enjoyed his touch. So gentle and yet so strong, she whispered. Gods below, the way she looked at him, as though she could devour him. For once, Mabella's thoughts of Idaho were free of self-accusation. I remember no moment when I awakened and said, I love him. No, it had wormed its way into this deeper and deeper addiction until, accomplished fact, it must be accepted in every living moment, like breathing or heartbeats. A flaw. The sisterhood is wrong. Wash my back, she said, and laughed when the shower drenched his clothing. She helped him undress, and there in the shower it happened once more. This uncontrollable compulsion, this male-female mingling that drove away everything except sensation. Only afterward could she remember and say to herself, he knows every technique I do. But it was more than technique. He wants to please me. Dear gods of Dur, how was I ever this fortunate? She clung to his neck while he carried her out of the shower and dropped her still wet onto her bed. She pulled him down beside her and they lay there quietly, letting their energies rebuild. Presently she whispered, so the missionaria will use Shiana.
Very dangerous.
Puts the sisterhood in an exposed position. I thought they always tried to avoid that.
From my point of view, it's ludicrous.
Because they intended you to control Shiana.
No one can control her. Perhaps no one should. He looked up at the commies.
Hey, Belle, you have more than one Targa by the tail.
Belonda, returning to archives, stopped at the door of the commie recording and looked a question at the watchmother.
In the shower again, the watchmother said. It gets boring after a while.
Participation mystique,
Belonda said and strode off to her quarters, her mind roiling with charged perceptions that needed reorganizing.
He's a better mentat than I am. I'm jealous of Shiana, damn her, and he knows it.
Participation mystique, the orgy as energizer. Arnad Matra's sexual knowledge was having an effect on the Bene Gesserit akin to that primitive subversion in shared ecstasy. We take one step toward it and one step away. Just knowing this thing exists, how repellent, how dangerous. And yet, how magnetic. And Shiana is immune, damn her. Why did Idaho have to remind them of that just now?
Give me the judgment of balanced minds in preference to laws every time. Codes and manuals create patterned behavior. All patterned behavior tends to go unquestioned, gathering destructive momentum. Darwi O'Drade. Tamerlane appeared in O'Drade's quarters at El Dio just before dawn, bringing news about the glazeway ahead of them.
Drifting sand has made the road dangerous or impassable in 6 places beyond the sea. Very large dunes.
O'Drade had just completed her daily regimen. Mini agony of spice followed by exercise and cold shower. El Dio's guest sleeping cell had only one sling chair. They knew her preferences, and she had seated herself to await Streggy and the morning report. Tamerlane's face appeared sallow in the light of 2 silvery glow globes, but there was no mistaking her satisfaction.
If you had listened to me in the first place.
Get us thopters, O'Drade said.
Tamerlane left, obviously disappointed at Mother Superior's mild reaction. O'Drade summoned Streggy.
Check alternate roads, find out about passage around the sea's western end.
Streggy hurried away, almost colliding with Tamerlane, who was returning.
I regret to inform you that transport cannot give us enough thopters immediately. They are relocating 5 communities east of us. We probably can have them by noon.
Isn't there an observation terminal at the edge of that desert spur south of us? O'Drade asked.
The first obstruction is just beyond it.
Tamerlane still was too pleased with herself. Have the thopters meet us there, O'Drade said. We will leave immediately after breakfast.
But, Dar,
tell Clareby you are riding with me today. Yes, Streggy? The acolyte stood in the doorway behind Tamerlane. The set of her shoulders as she left said Tamerlane did not take the new seating arrangements as forgiveness. On the coals. But Tam's behaviour fitted itself to their need. We can get to the observation terminal, Streggy said, indicating she had heard. We'll stir up dust and sand, but it's safe. Let's hurry breakfast. The closer they came to the desert, the more barren the country, and O'Drade commented on this as they sped south. Within 100 clicks of the last reported desert fringe, they saw signs of communities uprooted and removed to colder latitudes, bare foundations, unsalvageable walls damaged in dismantling and left behind, pipes cut off at foundation level, too expensive to dig them out. Sand would cover all of this unsightly mess before long. They had no shield wall here as there had been on Dune, O'Drade observed to Streggy. Some day soon the population of Chapter House would remove itself to polar regions and mine the ice for water.
Is it true, Mother Superior, someone in back with Tamerlane asked, that we're already making spice harvesting equipment?
O'Drade turned in her seat. The question had come from a communications clerk, senior acolyte, an older woman with responsibility wrinkles deep in her forehead, dark and squinty from long hours at her equipment. We must be ready for the worms, O'Drade said.
If they come, Tamerlane said.
Have you ever walked on the desert, Tam? O'Drade asked.
I was on Dune.
Very short answer. But did you go out into open desert?
Only to some small drifts near Keen.
That is not the same. A short answer deserved an equally short rejoinder.
Other memory tells me what I need to know.
That was for the acolytes. It's not the same, Tam. You have to do it yourself. A very curious sensation on Dune, knowing a worm could come at any instant and consume you.
I've heard about your Dune exploit.
Exploit. Not experience. Exploit. Very precise with her censure. Quite like Tam. Too much of Bell has rubbed off on her, some will say. Walking on that sort of desert changes you, Tam. Other memory becomes clearer. It's one thing to tap experiences of a Fremen ancestor. It's quite different walking there as a Fremen yourself, if only for a few hours.
I did not enjoy it.
So much for Tam's venturesome spirit, and everyone in the car had seen her in a bad light. Word would spread. On the coals, indeed. But now the shift to Shiana on the council, if she suits, would have an easier explanation. The observation terminal was a fused expanse of silica, green and glassy with heat bubbles through it. O'Drade stood at the fused edge and noted how grass below her ended in patches, sand already invading the lower slopes of this once verdant hill. There were new salt bushes, planted by Shiana's people, one of O'Drade's entourage said, forming a random grey screen along the encroaching fingers of desert. A silent war. Chlorophyll-based life fighting a rearguard action against the sand. A low dune lifted above the terminal to her right. Waving for the others not to follow, she climbed the sandhill, and just beyond its concealing bulk, there was the desert of memory. So this is what we are creating. No signs of habitation. She did not look back at growing things making their last desperate struggle against invading dunes, but kept her attention focused outward to the horizon. There was the boundary desert dwellers watched. Anything moving in that dry expanse was potentially dangerous. When she returned to the others, she kept her gaze for a time on the glazed surface of the terminal. The older communications acolyte came up to O'Drade with a request from Weather. O'Drade scanned it. concise and inescapable. Nothing sudden about the changes spelled out in these words. They were asking for more ground equipment. This did not come with the abruptness of an accidental storm, but with Mother Superior's decision. Yesterday? Did I decide to phase out the sea only yesterday? She turned the report to the communications acolyte and looked beyond her at the sand-marked glaze. Request approved. Then, it saddens me to see all of those buildings gone back there. The acolyte shrugged. She shrugged. Odrait felt like striking her, and wouldn't that send upsets rumbling through the sisterhood? Odrait turned her back on the woman. What could I possibly say to her? We have been on this ground 5 times the lifetime of our oldest sisters, and this one shrugs. Yet, by some standards, she knew the sisterhood's installations had barely reached maturity. Plaz and Plasteel tended to maintain an orderly relationship between buildings and their settings, fixed in land and memory. Towns and cities did not submit easily to other forces, except to human whims. Another natural force. The concept of respect for age was an odd one, she decided. Humans carried it inborn. She had seen it in the old Basha when he spoke of his family holdings on Lernius.
We thought it fitting to keep my mother's decor.
Continuity. Would a revived Gola revive those feelings as well? This is where my kind have been. That took on a peculiar patina when my kind were blood-related ancestors. Look how long we Atreides persisted on Caladan, restoring the old castle, polishing deep carvings in ancient wood, whole teams of retainers just to keep the creaking old place at a level of barely tolerable functionalism. But those retainers had not thought themselves ill-used. There had been a sense of privilege in their labours. Hands that polished the wood almost caressed it. Old. Been with the Atreides a long time now. People and their artifacts. She felt tool sense as a living part of herself. I'm better because of this stick in my hand, because of this fire-sharpened spear to kill my meat, because of this shelter against the cold, because of my stone cellar to store our winter food, because of this swift sailing vessel, this giant ocean liner, this ship of metal and ceramics that carries me into space. Those first human venturers into space. How little they suspected of where the voyage would extend. How isolated they were in those ancient times. Little capsules of livable atmosphere linked to cumbersome data sources by primitive transmission systems. Solitude. Loneliness. Limited opportunity for anything but surviving. Keep the air washed. Be sure of potable water. Exercise to prevent the debilitation of weightlessness. Stay active. Healthy mind in a healthy body. What was a healthy mind anyway? Mother Superior? That damned communications acolyte again. Yes. Belonda says to tell you immediately there has been a messenger from Boozel. Strangers came and took all of the Reverend Mothers away. Odrait whirled. Her entire message? No, Mother Superior. The strangers are described as commanded by a woman. The messenger says she had the look of an honored matre, but was not wearing one of their robes. Nothing from Dortujla or the others? They were not given the opportunity, Mother Superior. The messenger is a first-stage acolyte. She came in the small no-ship, following explicit orders from Dortujla. Tell Bell that acolyte must not be allowed to leave. She has dangerous information. I will brief a messenger when I return. It must be a Reverend Mother. Do you have that? Of course, Mother Superior. Hurt at the suggestion of doubt. It was happening. Odrait contained her excitement with difficulty. They have taken the bait. Now, are they on the hook? Dortujla did a dangerous thing depending on an acolyte that way. Knowing Dortujla, that must be an extremely reliable acolyte, prepared to kill herself if captured. I must see this acolyte. She may be ready for the agony. And perhaps that's a message Dortujla sends me. It would be like her. Bell would be incensed, of course. Foolish to depend on someone from a punishment station. Odrait summoned a communications team. set up a link with Belonda. The portable projector was not as clear as a fixed installation, but Belle and her setting were recognizable. Sitting at my table as though she owned it. Excellent. Not giving Belonda time for one of her outbursts, O'Draid said, "Determine if that messenger acolyte is ready for the agony."
"She is."
Gods below, that was terse for Belle. "Then see to it. Perhaps she can be our messenger."
"Already have."
"Is she resourceful?"
"Very."
What in the name of all the devils has happened to Belle? She's acting extremely odd, not like her usual self at all. Duncan. "Oh, and Belle, I want Duncan to have an open link with archives."
"Did that this morning."
Well, well. Contact with Duncan is having its effect. "I'll talk to you after I've seen Shiana."
"Tell Tam she was right."
"About what?"
"Just tell her."
"Very well. I must say, Belle, I couldn't be more satisfied with the way you're handling matters."
"After the way you've handled me, how could I fail?"
Belonda was actually smiling as they broke the connection. O'Draid turned to find Tamerlane standing behind her. "Right about what, Tam?"
"That there's more to contacts between Idaho and Shiana than we've suspected."
Tamerlane moved close to O'Draid and lowered her voice.
"Don't put her in my chair without discovering what they keep secret."
"I'm aware you knew my intentions, Tam, but am I that transparent?"
"In some things, Dar."
"I'm fortunate to have you as a friend."
"You have other supporters. When the Proctors voted, it was your creativity that worked for you. Inspired is the way one of your defenders put it."
"Then you know I'll have Shiana on the coals quite thoroughly before I make one of my inspired decisions."
"Of course."
O'Draid signalled communications to remove the projector and went to wait at the edge of the glassy area. Creative imagination. She knew the mixed feelings of her associates. Creativity. Always dangerous to entrenched power, always coming up with something new. New things could destroy the grip of authority. Even the Bene Gesserit approached creativity with misgivings. Maintaining an even keel inspired some to shunt boat rockers aside. That was an element behind Dortugela's posting. The trouble was that creative ones tended to welcome backwaters. They called it privacy. It had taken quite a force to bring Dortugela out. "Be well, Dortugela. Be the best bait we ever used." The Thopters came then, 16 of them, pilots showing displeasure at this added assignment after all the trouble they had been through, moving whole communities. In a fragile mood, O'Draid watched the Thopters settle to the hard, glazed surface, wing fans folding back into pod sleeves, each craft like a sleeping insect. An insect designed in its own likeness by a mad robot. When they were airborne, Streggy once more seated beside O'Draid, Streggy asked, "Will we see sandworms?" "Possibly, but there are no reports of them yet." Streggy sat back, disappointed by the answer but unable to lever it into another question. Truth could be upsetting at times, and they had such high expectations invested in this evolutionary gamble, O'Draid thought. Else why destroy everything we loved on Chapter House? Simulflow intruded with an image of a long-ago sign arching over a narrow entry to a pink brick building. Hospital for Incurable Diseases. Was that where the Sisterhood found itself? Or was it that they tolerated too many failures? Intrusive other memory had to have its purpose. Failures? O'Draid searched it out. If it comes, we must think of Mirbella as a sister. Not that their captive on Admatre was an incurable failure, but she was a misfit and undergoing the deep training at a very late age. How quiet they were all around her, everyone looking out at windswept sand, whaleback dunes giving way at times to dry wavelets. Early afternoon sun had just begun to provide sufficient sidelighting to define near vistas. Dust obscured the horizon ahead. O'Draid curled up in her seat and slept. I've seen this before. I survived Dune. The stir as they came down and circled over Shiana's Desert Watch Center awakened her. Desert Watch Center. We're at it again. We haven't really named it, no more than we gave a name to this planet. Chapter House. What kind of a name is that? Desert Watch Center. Description, not a name. Accent on the temporary. As they descended, she saw confirmations of her thought. The sense of temporary housing was amplified by Spartan abruptness in all junctures. No softness, no rounding of any connection. This attaches here and that goes over there, all joined by removable connectors. It was a bumpy landing, the pilot telling them that way, "Here you are in good riddance." O'Grade went immediately to the room always set aside for her and summoned Shiana. Temporary quarters. Another Spartan cubicle with hard cot. Two chairs this time. A window looked westward onto desert. The temporary nature of these rooms grated on her. Anything here could be dismantled in hours and carted away. She washed her face in the adjoining bathroom, getting the most out of movement. She had slept in a cramped position on the thopter and her body complained. Refreshed, she went out to a window, thankful that the erection crew had included this tower. 10 floors, and this the 9th. Shiana occupied the top floor, a vantage for doing what the name of the place described. While waiting, O'Grade made necessary preparations. Open the mind, shed preconceptions. First impressions when Shiana arrived must be seen with naive eyes. Ears must not be prepared for a particular voice. Nose must not expect remembered odors. I chose this one. I, her first teacher, am susceptible to mistakes. O'Grade turned at a sound from the doorway. Streggy. Shiana has just returned from the desert and is with her people. She asks Mother Superior to meet her in the upper quarters, which are more comfortable. O'Grade nodded. Shiana's quarters on the top floor still had that prefab look at the edges. Quick shelter ahead of the desert. A large room, 6 or 7 times the size of the guest cubicle, but then it was both workroom and sleeping chamber. Windows on 2 sides, west and north. O'Grade was struck by the mixture of functional and non-functional. Shiana had managed to make her rooms reflect herself. A standard Bene Gesserit cot had been covered with a bright orange and umber spread. A black-on-white line drawing of a sandworm, head-on with all of its crystal teeth displayed, filled an end wall. Shiana had drawn it, relying on other memory and her Dune childhood to guide her hand. It said something about Shiana that she had not attempted a more ambitious rendering. Full color, perhaps, and in traditional desert setting. Just the worm and a hint of sand beneath it, a tiny robed human in the foreground. Herself? Admirable restraint and a constant reminder of why she was here. A deep impression of nature. Nature makes no bad art? It was a statement too glib to accept. What do we mean by nature? She had seen atrocious natural wilderness, brittle trees looking as though they had been dipped in faulty green pigment and left on a tundra's edge to dry into ugly parodies. Repellent. Hard to imagine such trees having any purpose. And blind worms, slimy yellow skins. Where was the art in them? Temporary stopping place on evolution's journey elsewhere. Did the intervention of humans always make a difference? Sligs. The Bene Tlelax had produced something disgusting there. Admiring Shiana's drawing, O'Grade decided certain combinations offended particular human senses. Sligs as food were delectable. Ugly combinations touched early experiences. Experiences judged. Bad thing. Much of what we think of as art caters to desires for reassurance. Don't offend me. I know what I can accept. How did this drawing reassure Shiana? Sandworm, blind power guarding hidden riches, artistry in mystic beauty. It was reported that Shiana joked about her assignment. I am shepherd to worms that may never exist. And even if they did appear, it would be years before any achieved the size indicated by her drawing. Was it her voice from the tiny figure in front of the worm? This will come in time. An odor of melange pervaded the room, stronger than usual in a reverend mother's quarters. O'Grade passed a searching look across the furnishings. Chairs, work table, illumination from anchored glow-globes, everything placed where it would serve to advantage. But what was that oddly shaped mound of black plaz in the corner? More of Shiana's work? These rooms fitted Shiana, O'Grade decided. Little other than the drawing to recall her origins, but the view out any window might have been from Daris Balat, deep in Dune's drylands. A small rustling sound at the doorway alerted O'Grade. She turned, and there was Shiana, almost shy the way she peered around the door before entering Mother Superior's presence. Motion as words. So she did come to my rooms. Good. Someone might have been careless with my invitation. O'Grade's readied senses tingled with Shiana's presence, the youngest ever Reverend Mother. You often thought of quiet little Shiana. She was not always quiet, nor was she small, but the label stuck. She was not even mousy, but frequently quiet, like a rodent waiting at the edge of a field for the farmer to leave. Then the mouse would come darting out to glean fallen grains. Shiana came fully into the room and stopped less than a pace from O'Grade. We've been too long apart, Mother Superior. O'Grade's first impression was oddly jumbled. Candor and concealment? Shiana stood quietly receptive. This descendant of Siona Atreides had developed an interesting face under the Bene Gesserit patina. Maturity working on her according to both sisterhood and Atreides designs. Marks of many decisions firmly taken. The slender, dark-skinned waif with sun-streaked brown hair had become this poised Reverend Mother. Skin still dark from long hours in the open, hair still sun-streaked, the eyes, though. The steely total blue that said, I have been through the agony. What is it I sense in her? Shiana saw the look on Adraid's face, Bene Gesserit naivete, and knew this was the long-feared confrontation. There can be no defense except my truth, and I hope she stops short of a full confession. O'Grade watched her former student with exquisite care, every sense open. Fear. What do I sense? Something when she spoke? The steadiness of Shiana's voice had been shaped into the powerful instrument O'Grade had anticipated at their first meeting. Shiana's original nature, a Fremen nature, if there ever was one, had been curbed and redirected, that core of vindictiveness smoothed out, her capacity for love and hatred brought under tight reins. Why do I get the impression she wants to hug me? O'Grade felt suddenly vulnerable. This woman has been inside my defenses. No way to exclude her totally ever again. Tamerlane's judgment came to mind. She is one of those who keeps herself to herself. Remember Sister Shuang Yu? Like that one, but better at it. Shiana knows where she is going. We'll have to watch her carefully. Atreides blood, you know. I'm Atreides too, Tam. Don't think we ever forget it. You think we'd just stand idly by if Mother Superior chose to breed on her own? There are limits to our tolerance, Dar. Indeed, this visit is long overdue, Shiana. O'Grade's tone alerted Shiana. She stared back suddenly with that look the sisterhood called B.G. Placid, than which there probably was nothing more placid in the universe, nothing more completely a mask of what occurred behind it. This was not just a barrier, it was a nothing. Anything on this mask would be transgression. This in itself was betrayal. Shiana realized it immediately.